This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and hello, godless American, and I'm talking to you. The 4th of July weekend is coming up, and as all non-believing heretics know, there can be no true religious liberty without the freedom to dissent.
And that actually is a quote from Annie Laurie's mother, Anne Nicol Gaylor, who was the founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm Dan Barker, and no, Annie Laurie did not say, God bless America, for this week that we celebrate the founding of our country. She said, God bless America. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and Free Thought Radio is coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin. We are broadcasting this weekend of June 30th, 2012, here in Madison and in other cities who pick up the show. And the podcast of Free Thought Radio becomes available a few days later.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and FFRF has two purposes. You regular listeners know that. We work as a major state church watchdog to keep religion out of government. We have four staff attorneys and 10 lawsuits ongoing, more than about 60 over the course of 35 years or so. And we are also the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics. And Dan, you like all of this definition question. What's the difference between an atheist and agnostic?
People ask us that a lot. What's the difference? Well, very simply, an atheist is a person who does not hold a belief that there's a God. And an agnostic is a person who does not hold knowledge that there is a God. So they're two different things, and you can be both at the same time. Most agnostics, in fact, are also atheists. And in our group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, we don't care. Our standing joke is that we don't care what you call yourself. We all disbelieve in the same God.
Our guest today will be an atheist from Australia, Ron Williams, the plaintiff who this week won a major high court victory outlawing religious chaplains in public schools in Australia.
And although the decision was made on narrow grounds, it's still a huge blow, a great victory and a huge blow to the religious right in Australia, who have been reaping many millions of tax dollars to help them bring the message of Jesus to public school students.
Now we want to congratulate, or I should say salute, Steve Trunk. He's been on our show before. He's a long, long, long time FFRF member from California. He's been a board member forever, a lifetime member. And this Monday, he won a resounding legal victory. The Supreme Court let stand his victory before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, declaring unconstitutional a 43-foot-tall cross known as the Mount Soledad Easter Cross atop San Diego's Mount Soledad Public Park. And so this was a huge cross on public property, basically masquerading as a war memorial. That decision to let stand the Ninth Circuit decision by the Supreme Court came down June 25th. So in other words, they didn't render a decision, so they therefore upheld the Ninth Circuit decision. And it's been a very long wait for justice, too long.
More than 20 years, almost 30 years?
Well, the case first began in 1989 when Philip Paulson of San Diego, a Vietnam War vet and atheist, first sued. And he won in 1991, but he's been trying to uphold his victory since then. And when he died in 2006, he asked Steve Trunk, who's also a Vietnam War vet, an atheist, to come on so the case could continue. So it's too bad that Phil did not live to see this vindication, but we send our warmest congratulations to Steve, who served this country with honor as an atheist, and when you have a cross as a war memorial on public property, now federal property, that sends a message of exclusion.
Well, let me read what the court said. The Ninth Circuit decision said, by claiming to honor all service members with a symbol that is intrinsically connected to a particular religion, the government sends an implicit message to non-adherents that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community, and an accompanying message to adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community. He's quoting from Sandra O'Connor.
And what this basically means is that the law and the court precedent remain the same. It's always been that you cannot have a cross on government property. That obviously sends a message of endorsement of Christianity. And Steve was the 2011 Atheist and Fox Awardee, our third such honoree.
So we salute Steve Trunk. Now, before we get to some more news, here is a little almost relevant joke that I just read this morning in the book Heavenly Humor. Some Catholic women pray to the Virgin Mary, Mother of God, you were able to conceive without sinning. Please teach us how to sin without conceiving.
So speaking of women's rights and sinning without conceiving, as you know, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been engaging the Catholic bishops in their war against contraception, their firm attempt to subvert the contraceptive mandate of Health and Human Services. We've reported billboard campaigns, ads around the country. And we are pre-recording this show. We don't know what the Supreme Court decision was on Thursday, whether that's going to affect the contraceptive mandate that was to go into effect in August.
Will this be something you'll talk about at the NOW conference? You'll be at the NOW conference.
Yes, we're pre-recording. I'm going to be Katie Daniel, our bookkeeper, and Sabrina, who's our daughter, as a volunteer, and I are going to be at the National Organization for Women's annual conference in Baltimore. And there's going to be Sandra Fluke is going to speak, the Georgetown law student who was in the news because she was censored by Congress when she tried to talk about the need for contraceptive coverage. Instead, they brought in the priests and men and bishops and so on. And but anyway, we have been promising to run the TV commercial, to play the audio of the TV commercial recorded for us by Julia Sweeney to counter the bishops' campaign. And we this is airing on 1,200 markets over a two-week period on regional airwaves, depending on your carrier, but on national news shows. And we've been getting great responses. This is the ad recorded that is still airing over many airwaves.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm a cultural Catholic. I'm no longer a believer, and I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. But I wanted you to know that right now, Catholic bishops are framing their opposition to contraceptive coverage as a religious freedom issue. But the real threat to freedom is the bishops, who want to be free to force their dogma on people who don't want it. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate.
So we're very proud of that commercial. And now, we also have billboards going up that say, quit the church, put women's rights over bishops' wrongs. And this is a news story that aired this week on CW33 News Dallas.
I'm Dawn Tongish, live in Arlington, where commuters along I-30 are getting an eyeful of a controversial billboard. Take a look at it. This is it. It scolds bishops and urges Catholics to give up the church over birth control. Now, some of the faithful are offended, but others are encouraged by the message, and they say they are ready to step aside. Defection letters in hand, Catholic convert Zachary Moore is preparing to leave the church he once believed in.
I no longer want my name on their list. I no longer want to be considered a Catholic at all.
The Keller resident, who is with the Dallas-Fort Worth Coalition of Reason, is doing what this billboard near I-30 and Highway 360 urges. He's quitting the church because he doesn't like the stand the church has taken on contraception.
The vast majority of Catholic women are using birth control, and for the bishops to take the position that they have shows a severe disconnect with their own parishioners.
The Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation placed the billboard as a way, the group says, to send a message. It reads, "Put women's rights over bishops' wrongs." The mostly atheist group says it chose the DFW location because both the diocese in Fort Worth and Dallas are suing the Obama administration over the contraceptive mandate.
Good afternoon, Catholic Diocese of Dallas.
Since the billboard went up, the angry calls from women Catholic officials say have come in.
The women we've heard from today, the callers have said they were offended, they were insulted, they were angry.
And Annette Gonzalez-Taylor with the diocese says Catholics are angry because they say the group behind the billboard ad doesn't understand the crux of the fight.
It's apparent that this organization does not have any understanding of the church, nor any understanding of the lawsuit that was filed.
But Moore, who became a father this year after 8 years of a Catholic marriage that involved birth control, says it should be a woman's choice, and if not, he says...
Do you really believe this? Because if you don't think this is a good thing, then you need to do the same thing that I did. You need to send a letter to the diocese and tell them that you're quitting the church.
Now, these billboards are also up in St. Louis and Chicago and will be up for about the next 30 days. That is about the time that the contraceptive mandate was to take effect. But all of this could be a moot point come Thursday. That is when the U.S. Supreme Court is set to hand down its ruling on the health care law. Reporting live in Arlington, Dawn Tongish, CW 33 News.
And I should correct that there was supposed to be a billboard up outside Chicago and Joliet. It got censored, but we have one on Times Square. It's beautiful. If you are in New York City over the weekend, go look at it.
Quit the church, in big words.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of great pictures.
And that guy, Zachary Moore, who was just interviewed, he's a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Now, government prayer, we're going to switch to, which FFRF and our legal staff spend an inordinate amount of time having to educate about why it is a constitutional no-no and also very bad manners. And we have many violations that we're trying to address around the country. But this particular story comes from Roanoke, Virginia. It's about the County Board of Supervisors. We have complained that they're praying in Jesus' name, and this aired last Tuesday on WDBJ7.
News Leader, WDBJ7 continues.
Stop praying in the name of Jesus or prepare for a lawsuit. That's the warning more and more local governments in our region are getting. This time a national equality group is targeting the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors. WDBJ7's Justin Ward is live tonight in Roanoke County with details.
Gene, the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors received a letter last month from the Freedom From Religion Foundation based in Wisconsin. It told the board prayer at a government meeting is, quote, unnecessary, inappropriate, and divisive. Today, though, the board went along with its plans.
In Jesus' name, I do pray.
It's simple and short, but it's causing a load of problems for the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors.
This request came out of Madison, Wisconsin. Hello. It's not in Roanoke County. It's not even in Virginia.
Tuesday afternoon, the board held its first meeting since the request. But instead of protesters or signs, the board conducted normal business. Lawyers with the Freedom From Religion Foundation said the complaint was made by a person who regularly attends the meetings. That person remains anonymous.
Yet they don't want to come forward. And it's my opinion that our citizens need to decide this.
The board says the prayer is a chance to share local ministries. That generosity is a cue for a lawsuit, according to the foundation.
If any of them that come in and say a prayer that I may not believe in, I'm going to do what I expect everyone else to do, respect individual religious freedom.
Now, the foundation is the same group that asked the Giles County School Board to remove the Ten Commandments. A similar request in prayer was asked of the Franklin County Board of Supervisors in April. Supervisor Joseph Church that we spoke with says the board's lawyer has contacted the Pennsylvania County Board of Supervisors for legal advice while its lawsuit is pending. Live in Roanoke, Justin Ward, WDBJ7.
Well, there's a county board that needs some educating, I would say. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And what's coming up, Dan?
Well, stay tuned. We're going to talk with the Australian father, who's also, by the way, a singer and a songwriter. His name is Ron Williams. He sued the government over paid chaplains in the public schools, and he won. A very significant victory from the Australian High Court. So stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-directors of FFRF, and we hope you'll join us today at FFRF.org.
And this week we're celebrating not only the Declaration of Independence of the United States, but in Free Thought history, we celebrate this week the birthdays of George Sand, Barbara G. Walker, Kay Nolte Smith, Frida Kahlo, Alexander Pushkin, Benjamin Underwood, Peter Singer, and July the 3rd, 1860 was the birthday of the feminist author Charlotte Perkins Gilman. You can read more about her in Annie Laurie's book, Women Without Superstition. Here's a little bit of one of her poems that she wrote. Once we thought the earth was flat. What of that? It was just as globose then, under believing men, as our later folks have found it, by success in running round it. What we think may guide our acts, but it does not alter facts. And you can read more about Freethinkers in History at our Free Thought of the Day page at fff.org/day. Stay tuned. We're going to talk later in the show with Ron Williams about his High Court victory in Australia, stopping the chaplaincy program there in public schools. He's known as Ronnie Williams. He's also a professional singer and songwriter. Let's listen to one of his songs that he wrote. It's called Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven?
It seems to me the species Homo sapiens carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God.
This grain of sand upon an infinite beach had been supporting life for trillions of spins. Then along came humans who started assuming that this was where it begins. So profoundly naive, they began to perceive these primates were the only ones to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, 'cause man created God.
If man created Zeus
and the god of the sun,
if man created Shiva
and the god of Abraham,
from all of life, why should the only one saved be the species worst behaved? Well, that's because that same species, Homo sapiens, carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't whales go to heaven, snails go to heaven, orangutans and quail go to heaven?
And that's Ronnie Williams, the Australian singer-songwriter, singing his own song, Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven? And we're going to be talking with Ronnie right after the break today. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Stay tuned for more radio as secular as our Constitution.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill, and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, because man created God.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And that's a little bit more of the song, Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven, written by Ron Williams, who is our guest today. I think professionally he's known as Ronnie Williams, but we'll call him Ron today. He's an Australian singer-songwriter who, by the way, just happens to be a recently victorious plaintiff in a major state church lawsuit in his country. Ron is the father of six children, and he was surprised one day to hear his children returning from public school. Well, he'll tell us about it. They were singing Sunday school songs or quoting Bible verses. And he challenged the chaplains within the public schools there in Queensland, Australia. So, Ron, or Ronnie, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thanks very much for having me, Dan.
And you are, we're talking to you all the way from, do you want to pronounce where you live again?
Toowoomba.
Toowoomba in Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
And you
C-O-O-W-O-O-W-O-O-N-B-A.
Well, congratulations on this great victory, which everybody has been watching with great anticipation. You were talked about throughout the Global Atheist Conference in Melbourne. You weren't there, but you were there in non-spirit, I guess.
As a brave plaintiff in a lawsuit. So you're in Queensland, which is up north more, outside of Brisbane, right? And I heard you on a TV interview saying that where you live is called the Bible Belt of Australia. Tell us what happened and why you went to court.
Yeah, we call it the buckle of the Bible Belt, you know, Dan. But lately I think it's really actually that prong that goes on the buckle on the belt. So it's kind of zeroing in right to the epicenter. So what was the question?
Well, lucky you. So your kids came home from school, and what did you learn, and what prompted this whole lawsuit?
Look, it's as far as religion in schools goes, in public schools goes, in Australia, it is in every state, in legislation and territory. But Queensland is the absolute basket case, probably of the developed world.
I doubt that.
Yeah, sorry?
I don't think you can best parts of America.
Well, maybe.
Well, yeah, but you're still stopping them coming over your wall of separation. I mean, many, many brave people are holding them off as best you can with all of your vouchers and of course, cash for creationism. But look, we'd been living in the US, and we came back to Australia because our eldest son was about to go into school. And my wife and I both remembered the public school system in Australia as having been rather secular. We always had religious instruction, but it was kept in the background to about half an hour a week or so. But it was suffered about what Vashti McCollum went in to fight for back in the 50s in the US, of course. But she stopped it. But it had been put into legislation here. So, but in Queensland, the hard part was keeping your children out of this thing. So we had asked for, and you must keep in mind that chaplains and religious instruction in Queensland schools certainly are intertwined inextricably. So whatever you get, they're all chaplains. Everybody is evangelists that come into school for religious instruction, except chaplains do it 5 days a week.
Now,
we didn't want our child in religious instruction. And they had said that they would keep him out of it, but after a couple of weeks, it tracks what exactly happens to people like Vashti McCollum that half a century ago or more. And Andre came home singing these gospel ditties, you know, that God made the trees and the God made me or whatever. And We said, where'd you hear that? Oh, well, I heard it in religious instruction. And we said, well, we said that you weren't to be in it. Oh, no, well, they just kind of leave me in there at the back. At the back, it's only a small room, so it's really not at the back, it's just there. And so, and that's what happens to a lot of the kids here anyway, and that's what keeps going on. You know the story, it's such a familiar one.
Yeah.
How old How old was your son, Andre?
Sorry?
How old was your son?
Oh, well, that was, he would have been five, because that's when he was in year one. They do have a prep year here where the kids are about 4 years old, and he'd escaped it in that year. Because the particular teacher that was running that didn't, she must have been a sane teacher. She didn't want any of it new.
So the Australian government is paying these, they're outsiders. They're not really teachers. There are these chaplains that are educated in these religious 3-week course things, I think. They're not qualified in counseling. And they're getting millions. How many millions of dollars is the government paying to these chaplains to come in?
It's coming up for half a billion dollars that's been either actually given to them or pledged to them, although they're rolling out the last part of that tithe at the moment. So, it's coming up $500 million.
Now, this just happened very recently in Australia. Is that correct?
It was bad enough. Every individual state had its own education legislation that allowed churches in to do their thing for up to about an hour each week, which is absolutely abused anyway. But in 2006, in about September, that famous George Bush sycophant and groupie, John Howard, our then Prime Minister, announced a doorstop on television just one fateful evening. It fell like an alien spaceship, this thing. He announced that he was going to introduce this thing called the National School Chaplaincy Program, which would place a chaplain in every school that they could possibly get one into on federal government funding. And John Howard said within the same announcement that he would not bow to political correctness in any way. He would call these people chaplains. He would not call them counsellors, because the word chaplain has a particular connotation attached to it, and that they will understand what I'm talking about. And we hear about dog whistling in politics, but this was kind of more like a soccer coach's whistle, this one, to all of the religious right. It was just absolutely atrocious. And at the time, our media, even journalists that didn't normally touch upon separation of church and state matters, Everybody was screaming from the rooftops, this can't happen. They're all screaming, Constitution, Constitution. And what do we have here? So, but introduce it they did. And they're not qualified. Initially, they weren't qualified in any way. They didn't require any educational standards whatsoever. The only thing they required was a letter of endorsement from their local pastor. So it's really just a tap on the shoulder circumstance here. Now, we had all kinds of people becoming chaplains on government funding. You know, they were all proudly boasting that they were mowing lawns before they got the gig. Some of them came straight out of school, and it was just, and that's the nightmare that's continued ever since. Hello.
Hello, sorry.
I thought we'd lost our satellite.
Yeah, no. So your son, Andre, came home singing these songs, and I imagine you were amazed and astonished and probably called the school up. And then what happened?
Then began just a long line of the usual stuff that goes on when you know these tales. All of the stories that are in Catherine Stewart's wonderful book,
The Good News Club.
The Good News Club.
Yeah.
They're all. I imported Catherine's book, and I read it cover to cover over a weekend, and we exchanged emails ever since. But
you complained.
Everything
right?
In that book is what happened.
But you
lots of other parents as well. We found heaps of other parents and formed networks even well before the chaplaincy thing had officially started. So, yeah, it goes on and on and on. In fact, in Dan McCollum's book, when I read that one, I think in when it came out, and then I got hold of Jay Rosenstein's movie about it. There's a section in that where Jim came home with his sort of Easter colour in about the Easter story, and the year after that happened to Andre, exactly the same thing happened with our next child this time in kindergarten year, in preparatory year that they have here. He was only four.
Four.
It was Easter time. And he came home with this dreadful card that he'd made in class that he'd have to sort of colour in. It was pre-drawn. This horrible thing about evil men killed Jesus and they killed him, and they had the empty sort of tomb with the stone rolled aside that I borrowed for bees, actually, that scene. And it was just awful. And he'd been made to colour this thing in and put his name on the top of it. And that's exactly what happened to dear Jim McCollum all those years ago. Here we were. All of that stuff had been sorted out in the US in the 50s. And here we were in the late
70 late years 90s. Later. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, in the 2000s. Yeah.
Ron, it still unfortunately happens. We're just able to, if we find out about it at FFRF, we're able to stop it with this court precedent of McCollum versus Board of Education. Now, that's what we have to take a break, but you went to court. Is that in 2007?
You went
to court in 2007?
Oh, no. Only last year.
Only last year?
Canberra,
okay.
In August. Yeah.
Well, we'll come back and we'll talk more with Ron Williams about his recent victory before the Australian High Court. By the way, we heard some of the U.S. National Anthem. Here's a little bit of the Australian National Anthem, Advance Australia Fair. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our talk with Ron Williams, the Australian singer-songwriter and father who just took a case straight to the High Court of Australia and just last week had a resounding victory, at least temporarily, stopping religious chaplains in the public schools. So, Ron, I read part of that decision from the High Court, and it looks to me like the decision was made not so much on state-church separation grounds, but on separation of powers. Is that right?
Absolutely. How the course of it went, of course, everybody had been appalled with this national chaplaincy thing since it was started in, as we mentioned, in 2006, 2007. So we were quite anxious to get it to the High Court, and which was a bit like climbing Mount Everest, wearing a pair of swimming trunks, really. But I approached. We found a wonderful lawyer here in Australia that was just the most wonderful man. If we make the movie, I think he's the only person who could play his part, and we. We had our briefing with him, and the opinion was made from... I was really lucky. I got probably about the best team possible to get in Australia with a barrister named Brett Walker. He was absolutely the man when it comes to constitutional law, and the junior barrister. The junior barrister sounds like they'd sort of turn up with their lunch in a little box, but... It's only a junior in term only, but he was wonderful as well. Anyway, the opinion came back, and they said, look, our constitution was as it relates to church and state, our section 116, as they call it, the establishment part was practically plagiarised from your First Amendment, and it's only a short phrase, as is your First Amendment, as it relates to this. But it does say that the state would have to make a law to do anything with religion, as it words it. And what the government had done had not made a law at all. They just gathered up this money from some slush fund somewhere and quietly distributed it out in millions to every school that wanted it was a winner. They didn't really knock anybody back. And so my legal team said, we can't get much mileage out of that. There's a tiny bit of our S116 clause that says there can't be a religious test placed on any occupation for any officer under the Commonwealth. They said, look, we're going to try and connect the dots up with that, but it's going to be pretty flimsy. But we can give that a try, but we wouldn't be confident in going to the High Court on this. They said, however, we've been doing a lot of research about other aspects of the Australian Constitution, and it appears that they didn't make a law, and in not making a law, probably to avoid Section 116, they have, as Monty Python put it, they weren't the messiahs, but they'd been very naughty boys. And they had, which is ultimately what the court found, of course. So we went to the High Court on that basis. So I guess if you had to put it in percentage terms, I guess the part of the Constitution that was attached to separation of church and state was occupying probably only about 2% of my case. And it was right out there in the public domain all the way what it was about. Even in interviews I did on television, I would always say that this was about the funding of the chaplains for this case and nothing else. But I saw it as being separation of not so much church and state as church and state money, which, as you know, is kind of like a drug to the evangelical churches. Take the money away and there isn't very much passion left. So I'd hoped that we could achieve at least that much.
And you did.
And, of course, many armchair attorneys out there told me that I had not a snowball's chance in hell.
Now, when did the decision in your favour come down?
When was it?
It came down, what's today, Thursday? It came down a week ago yesterday, so it was Wednesday.
Wow.
Before.
And well, so the government did not have the authority then to dole out all that money without an act of parliament, right? But you've since found out that they're trying to do an end run around this loss of theirs, right?
No, well, they have actually, Dan.
Yeah.
In obscene haste, what happened was that my decision was kind of monumental because it kind of put the kibosh in all further slush funding and pork barreling wherever it may lie. And so it caused sheer panic, sheer bipartisan panic, and every other kind of partisan as well. And so, but what was happening was for at least four of the major evangelical parachurches were owed grand sums of money. Our financial year in Australia begins in the middle of the year, on the 1st of July, whereas I think in the States it's on a calendar year. And so we had the new financial year coming up, and four of our majors, you know, our equivalents of Young Life and people like that over here, who incidentally are providing chaplains to us as well under the government scheme, along with Campus Crusade for Christ. However, I digress. Anyway, they owed all of these people millions of money by this Friday. And so they dragged the entire nation into our upper and lower houses of parliament to get this wacko bill through to release the money to these four major parachurches by Friday. And it's been the most delicious thing because they've made a law. Even constitutional law experts all over Australia are going into the media saying, "What on earth are they doing? Hmm. They're putting themselves into a box canyon here."
So, because now you will be able to sue under the no law provision.
Congress, under establishment,
Parliament has made a law.
Well, yeah, that's the good news. And even better news is they're even in sort of, as it reads, they're defying the High Court decision even on the other part of it, the executive power section, that the two of the judges said, don't go down that road, there'd be dragons in there. And so they've kind of put themselves back in the frame, really, for some of the stuff that was the major part of the case anyway.
Well, we're out of time, Ron.
Back with 116.
Thank you so much, and congratulations.
We were talking with Ron. It's
an absolute pleasure talking to you, and thank you for all your good work in Melbourne as well, because you helped my case in a little way as well. So
thank you, Ron Williams, who just won a significant High Court victory, stopping chaplains in the public schools in Australia. Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing the show, and Buzz Kemper for being our announcer. You find out more about our show at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for a sample copy of the June-July issue out soon. But better yet, join us at FFF.org. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. Phone for information at 1-800-335-4021 or go to our website at FFRF.org. And congratulations to Steve Trunk and Ron Miller.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.